You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
January 23rd, 2020, and 21 attorneys general across the nation, attorneys generals for 21 different states, in an unprecedented action, filing a brief supporting President Donald Trump, condemning the Democrats' impeachment trial. 21. In full disclosure, they are all Republicans. Senator John Kennedy, Republican of Louisiana, doesn't like the way this impeachment case is going. In fact, here's his quote. He said, I know it looks complicated, but it's very simple. He said, you have large portions of the political establishment here in D.C. think the American people are morons, and they're not qualified to pick their own president. That's why they want to replace President Trump. And he went on to say some remarks about Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer. He said, if I were in Chuck Schumer's shoes, I'd probably want to disqualify the White House counsel because he's a damn good lawyer. But Senator Schumer, he said, he's kind of like a teenager. Hates everybody. China now quarantining 20 million people in three cities. They think they could have a vaccine for that coronavirus maybe in 3 months. And by the way, we've had one case documented in Washington State. A man who had been in that area of China. Airports in the meantime in New York, Chicago, L.A., Atlanta, San Francisco, stepping up all health checks for anyone arriving from China. More than 40 world leaders and dignitaries are attending an anti-Semitism Holocaust Forum in Jerusalem. This is marking ahead of the 75th anniversary of the liberation of the Auschwitz death camp. Three Americans were helping battle the Australian wildfires. They were on board a C-130, Hercules aerial water tanker. Something went wrong. It went down. All three killed. So, Friday, 100,000 are expected to converge on D.C., taking part in the 47th annual March for Life. Never before has any president spoken and appeared at that group during that march date. Never before. Not Ronald Reagan, none of the Bushes, no Democrat. President Trump will. He said in a tweet, see you on Friday, big crowd. He will become the first president in history to attend that event. Last year, 58 anti-abortion laws were passed, including 25 that banned the procedure, at least to some extent. This is going to be a shocker, at least for some Democrats. A new survey, a national survey, the Monmouth University survey, shows that former New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg is now in fourth place, 9% support nationwide. That's a 4% increase since they were asking about him back in December. Now, that shows that, yeah, money apparently can buy the election. He's in fourth place. Biden's still considered to be the top choice with 30%. Bernie Sanders at 23%. Warren at 14%. But again, in fourth place, Michael Bloomberg spending $250 million so far on his campaign ads. Goldman Sachs has a word to any companies that want to go public. Goldman Sachs helps companies do that, and they say in the future, if you're going to go public, we're going to insist that you have at least one diverse board member, basically focusing on women, saying you must have at least one female director on your board if we're going to help you go public. Well, if they're going to do that, then I guess what's it going to be about transgenders? When are they going to get their chance on a board? Once you start going down that road, there are going to be a lot of things open up. We'll see what happens. Cockfighting in the U.S. is illegal. But 31 states permit possession of cockfighting implements, and a dozen, Alabama, Georgia, Hawaii, Idaho, Kansas, Kentucky, Mississippi, Missouri, North Carolina, South Carolina, South Dakota, Utah, allow possession of a fighting cock, but the actual cockfighting is illegal. With that said, a guy was taking his rooster on the way to a cockfight. He'd already tied a razor blade to the rooster's claw so the rooster could attack his opponent. Well, the rooster went berserk and attacked the owner, struck him in the neck repeatedly with a blade, killed him before they got to the cockfight. It happened in India. But let that be a lesson to anyone who wants to mess around with a rooster and a blade on its... Well, good luck.
Larry Connors, USA. News and commentary.
Wellington Environmental specializes in making your world safer, especially for our children. A national chain of daycare centers that opened a facility in Washington, D.C. But soon, toxic vapors were discovered leaking from the ground. Wellington Environmental responded and put in a vapor seal so the children were no longer in any danger. Now, in another case, a child was playing with a toy in his basement. And like kids will sometimes do, he was putting the toy into his mouth. He got sick enough to be taken to the hospital. And what had happened? Wellington engineers and a chemist found traces of rat poison. So Wellington professionally cleaned up the danger. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
My sponsors keep this program on the air, so my thanks to John Bill Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest, best quality, lowest price. So when you need a roof, remember this sponsor for this program, John Bill Roofing, 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Well, I started out with one lone dollar, gambled with a man and I won me another, bought me a gun and I robbed my brother. I'm bad, but I don't care, boys. Gonna be a millionaire.
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Well, the senators are back at it. They had their lunch break. Now they're back at it, and the chaplain began this session with a prayer, praying that fatigue or cynicism doesn't jeopardize friendships existing for years. That's the prayer of the Senate chaplain. And now they're back in session. And the headline on CNN on their Facebook page is, Democrats make case for abuse of power. If you're going to be accurate, if you're going to be a true journalist, I don't expect it of them, but here's the way it should read. Democrats attempt to make the case for alleged abuse of power. When they say Democrats make the case, it's as if they've done it. They've done it. It's solid. And when it says for abuse of power, it's clear that there's abuse of power. The proper writing of such a headline, if you want to be a journalist, let me tell you how you should do this. Democrats try to make the case for alleged abuse of power. Period. Or you would have a source. Congressman Adam Schiff says, Democrats make the case for abuse of power. Then it's his attribution versus an allegation. I waste my time trying to teach CNN and NNN correspondents and anchors how to be proper journalists. We're at a point in this nation when I see these Democrats saying that Trump is endangering our nation, where these same folks standing there in front of the Senate and in the midst of the Senate are actively encouraging more violence in the nation and making our nation more dangerous. In particular, three of the four, that are in the Senate and running for the White House right now. Senator Klobuchar has not bought in fully to all this amnesty and all this stuff, but you've got Warren and Sanders and Bennett. I think he's probably in that same category. And, of course, among the other candidates that are out there running that are not locked down in the Senate, Joe Biden. Joe Biden is now saying, these kids, talking about the DACA program, DACA recipients, Deferred Action Program. These kids have come, they've done well. Most of these kids, there's a lot of them. They're not just Hispanic, they're Asian Pacific Islanders as well. And in fact, they've done very well. In many cases, here it comes. We need a backup noise. Beep, beep, beep. We don't know how big this is going to get. Back up. Beep, beep, beep. Because the vice president, former vice president said, in many cases, DACA recipients, quote, are more American than most Americans. That's his statement. And he says it based on because they've done well in school. How well you do in school does not make you an American citizen. How you get into this country, legally or illegally, becomes the issue. But former Vice President Biden, still considered the top runner among the Democrats at this point, saying these illegals that are here, and we're not talking about those that are legal, that they are more American than your child. There you go. That's it. Oh, there were protesters at one of his events, and one of them shouting out, why don't you apologize to the 3 million migrants deported, separated from their families under the Obama years? The news copy says the former vice president simply smirked at the cameras taping the altercation and then told the activist, I will not apologize for the deportation of people who committed a felony. Well, now, wait a minute. You also won't apologize for not deporting folks who committed a felony. That's what I'm saying, based on what the vice president, former vice president, did the other day. He basically decided if he were the president, he would tell ICE agents, I will fire you if you arrest an illegal alien who's been convicted of a DUI case and take them as an excuse to deport them. That's not a felony. A DUI is not a felony. And, of course, often those DUIs are not just a DUI, but involved an accident. May not involve injuries, may or may not involve deaths. But Joe Biden is going to tell you that these illegals are more American than you and your children, and if they commit a felony, he's not going to let... He said, in the past, didn't stop Obama from deporting any who were convicted of a felony, but if I'm president, DUI would not be considered a felony. All right, let's turn our attention to Sugarland, Texas, near Houston, Fort Bend County. Tell me how he would rule on this. A Honduran, 6 times deported. 6 times deported, and he keeps coming back. This time he's back in Texas, and he is now charged in the hit-and-run death of an 81-year-old woman. An 81-year-old woman. According to prosecutors, the 40-year-old failed to stop and render aid in a fatal crash, left the 81-year-old woman dying in the street. Supposedly did pull over after striking her, but then ran or drove off. I don't know if he ran or drove. That's not clear to me by this story. But he is a 6-time deportee. He was encountered by ICE following that felony arrest for leaving the scene of the accident and has now been removed from the U.S. to Honduras in previous occasions. Back in December 2001, July 2012, October 2012, June 2013, March 2014, January 2015. The July 2012 deportation followed a DWI conviction in Houston, Mr. Vice President Biden. 2012, he got convicted for DWI, and was deported. Now, there's nothing in that time that says anyone was hurt in that particular DWI. So I guess this is one Biden would arrest the agents for deporting him. He was sentenced at that time to 60 days in jail for a second DWI conviction following that case. And then they found a court had convicted him for his first DWI in August of 2001. When again, after a 7-day confinement, at that point he was removed from the U.S., his first deportation. That would have been under Obama at that point. And apparently now he also has alleged criminal history, including aggravated battery out of Florida and California. Is that a criminal or a better American than you are? And these sanctuary cities and states and are a beacon to the illegals to come in. Because if you get there, you get into my city or state, we will not allow ICE to take you and run you back. Well, there's a top New York Police Department union leader stepping forward now and criticizing Mayor Bill de Blasio for refusing to work with ICE and said the city's police force wants to work with federal immigration. He said, we're kind of fed up not being able to work with ICE. ICE is not knocking down doors and taking kids out of their house. That's not what they're doing. They're taking criminals off the street. But the policies of our mayor and pretty much across the country right now is they are tying our hands. They're pretty much handcuffing police. There's no other way to say it. That's the way he describes it. And, of course, you also have this new no-bail law in New York State. And he points out that there was recently the New York Police Department, as required by city rules, ignored an ICE detainer on an illegal alien and let him go. They ignored it. And 2 months later, he attacked a 92-year-old woman, leaving her for dead. ICE's New York Bureau field office last year lodged 7,500 detainers, targeting 17,000-plus individuals with criminal convictions, another 6,500 with criminal charges. They included 200 homicides, more than 1,000 sexual offenses, more than 500 other crimes. The New York Police Department honored 10, count them on both hands in using your thumb, 10. But Bill de Blasio, Democrat, pushing back against the criticism, saying, I'm doing the very best we can. We're doing what we should be doing. But the police union chief says, no, you're not. He said, I have never heard of basically a stand-down order with contacting ICE until this man, Bill de Blasio, took office. He's a lifelong law enforcement officer himself, on the police force for more than 30 years. He says, our guys are looking to stop crime. That's why we took an oath. So for us to lock someone up, then being told we're not allowed to literally make a phone call to another agency looking to pick this person up, take him to a different system, it's really dumbfounding. And I would add, it's criminal and making our nation more dangerous. Do you remember the case of Molly Tibbetts, the 20-year-old University of Iowa girl, student, I should point out, that disappeared, and they were trying to find her, and they weren't sure. They had a nationwide search. They found her in a cornfield in Iowa. An illegal alien lived in that region that's surrounded by sanctuary cities. He was working on a dairy farm, using a stolen ID and Social Security card. He had originally come into the U.S. as a child, as a child, but now he's 25 years old, no longer a child, and now, according to investigators, attacked and killed Molly Tibbetts. You know what his defense is at this point? Well, they're trying everything they can to get it thrown out on various things, but this argument in a request to the Supreme Court says this is an immigrant with, quote, a very limited Mexican education. Made him unfamiliar with U.S. criminal justice system, so he couldn't understand the Miranda warning he was given. Oh, I think he understood the Miranda warning. And I don't know that in the Mexican education system he'd be taught about the Miranda warning or our U.S. system, but he knows at age 25, he damn well knows when you commit a crime, you're going to pay a price for it. But they're claiming now, well, you know, he had a poor education, the Mexican education system. Is that going to be the next claim for anybody charged with a crime? Well, I didn't get to go to an Ivy League school, so I didn't know. And you're right. We've often said ignorance of the law is no defense. These Democrats and these attitudes are clearly making our nation more dangerous. And I would not want one of their children or their family members to be hurt. But when it does happen, and it will, I want to see how they're going to react then. We'll take a break, tell you about some of the latest polling, and it's going to be surprising.
You want to look better, stronger, leaner? Visit my trainer, Jamie, and his team at Red Fitness Lounge in Clayton. Red Fitness Lounge, redefining exercise, changing how you think and look at fitness, one client at a time. Check it out, redfitnesslounge.com, redfitnesslounge.com. It's been a
is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
All the polling effort is underway regarding the Democrats, and of course then how they would match up against Trump. But right now the focus is on among the Democrats, who's in the lead. A couple of interesting new surveys out. One, a CNN national poll shows Bernie Sanders ahead of the pack with 27% support. Former Vice President Biden, just 24%. This is the first time Bernie has led a national poll. First time ever. And again, this is a CNN poll. He found in third place Senator Warren, 14%. Buttigieg, fourth with 11%. Bloomberg, Klobuchar, Yang, Steyer, all way behind at 5, 4, 4, 2%. Again, that's a CNN poll. Just released. Well, there was one released just yesterday from Monmouth University, and it's pointed out that didn't put Bernie at the top, it put Biden at the top. 30% approval for him. Sanders second with 23%. Now look at the two differences quickly. I know doing it on the air, it's kind of hard to visualize, but the CNN poll showed Sanders first with 27%. The MAMA survey shows Biden first with 30%. And Bernie Sanders second with 23%. The other interesting thing about the MAMA survey, former New York City Mayor Bloomberg, as I pointed out in news and commentary, now in fourth place. That's a national survey from Monmouth University showing Bloomberg in fourth place. The CNN poll shows him way down behind Warren and even Buttigieg. I don't know how much the Democrats are putting faith into those at this point. Obviously, they're trying to decide where to put their money with it. As I said also previously in the last hour, that the Democrat National Committee rolling out multi-million dollar investment in six battleground states, states that Trump carried in 2016 and they think they can use to defeat him in November, Arizona, Florida, Michigan, North Carolina, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin. That's what the Democrat National Committee is doing. And in the meantime, as I'd also pointed out previously in the previous hour, Bloomberg is shifting ads on his campaign. He is now running ads with a focus on impeachment, running in 27 different states, trying to make it clear that you need my kind of senators in there to support me when I become president. Bloomberg has spent already $250 million. You got to let that sink in. $250 million. Can you buy an election? Bernie Sanders has called him out for trying to do that. That to extend, I might actually agree with Bernie. We'll take a break. When we come back, I want to tell you some of the latest developments coming out of the impeachment hearings, which now after they've had some lunch, how many of them would be falling asleep at their chairs listening to the drone, blah, 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 the Democrats. Please stand by.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
The IRS is clearly our most powerful government agency. If the IRS decides you've done something wrong, you're suddenly facing serious issues. I know that can be traumatic, and I found out trying to deal with the IRS on my own was a big mistake. So I called the Lance Drury Law Firm. The American Society of Tax Problem Solvers rates Lance Drury at the top. That's because Lance Drury has decades of experience. He knows how to deal with the volumes of regulations and red tape. Lance Drury quickly laid out a plan for me that would satisfy the IRS and save me money. And don't go into the IRS lion's den without Lance Drury by your side. Say you heard about Lance Drury on Larry Connors USA and get a free consultation. Lance Drury Law Firm, 314-238-7360, 314-238-7360. Call the Lance Drury Law Firm and sleep better at night.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
So the Senate is again in session listening to the Democrats drone on about their, quote, credible information and facts that Donald Trump is guilty of impeachable offenses, abuse of power, and obstruction of Congress, neither of which appear in the U.S. Constitution, along with high crimes and other misdemeanors. None of them. Neither one. But that's not going to stop them from their narrative. And as they began their impeachment testimony yesterday, Adam Schiff suggesting, you got to get Trump out of here because if you don't, the Russians could attack the U.S. In other words, suggesting we could have Russians attack the U.S. mainland if Donald Trump remains president. Really? Does that sound a little far-fetched? Well, let me give you another thing that he said that it's clearly can call out. He's talking about how basically we have used military aid to Ukraine so we would not have to fight the Russians here at our base, at our home. He said, that's why we are supporting Ukraine. Well, during the Obama administration, when they asked for military aid, the Obama administration sent blankets. What, were they going to throw them over the faces of the Russian agents? Throw them over the ends of their guns so they couldn't shoot or something? Trump actually sent military equipment. But, of course, they like to mock Trump supporters and say that you don't really understand. That's why talked about the remarks a few moments ago in news and commentary from Senator John Kennedy of Louisiana, Republican, that the Democrats going through all of this think you're stupid. You're just too stupid to even have a right to vote. Democrats have used that before with black Americans when it came to Jim Crow laws, so I guess now they're going to say that if you're a Trump supporter, you're too stupid to vote. So we're back in session again. Senator Cotton from Arkansas, Republican, says, let me save you the effort of bothering to watch.
After an hour and a half of it, you heard the entirety of the Democrats' argument today because they repeated themselves from the first thing this afternoon to the last thing this evening. If they had genuine evidence of wrongdoing by this president, you'd think that they would just stand on that evidence and then let it stand. But rather, they kept repeating themselves time and time and time again because they did not prove their case in the House of Representatives. And as you say, what this really gets back to is, one, anger that the president won in 2016, and two, frustration the president, as the elected president, gets to direct the foreign policy of the United States.
And the other point being is they do not think they have a Democrat candidate that can beat Trump in 2020. So they had to do everything possible to make him unelectable. When what they're doing actually is making him more electable. The Republican National Committee in the last quarter drew in something like $70 million. A lot of it initiated because of all the impeachment nonsense. $70 million. Democrats in that same time around $20 million. So they're afraid to have you have a chance to vote on Trump again because you're too stupid and you might vote for him again. And some of the comments that were taking place in front of the Senate the other day, yesterday, and some today, I haven't had a chance to monitor it closely as we've been on the air, but some of the senators got chastised yesterday. The Supreme Court Justice John Roberts is presiding over this. He doesn't have a vote on whether they call witnesses. He has a vote on nothing. All he can do is make parliamentary ruling and try to maintain decorum and control of the Senate while it goes through this. And he felt it got out of hand yesterday when Jerry Old Nadler, a Democrat, stood up there and said, if the senators do not support what we believe should happen, if you go the other way, then you're being a traitor. You're treasonous. Well, that went over the line for Supreme Court Justice Roberts, and he admonished both parties, but believe me, it was aimed at the Democrats.
I think it is appropriate at this point for me to admonish both the House managers and the President's counsel in equal terms to remember that they are addressing the world's greatest deliberative body. I don't think we need to aspire to that highest standard, but I do think those addressing the Senate should remember where they are.
And by that highest standard, he's talking about that in one prior case, 1905 or something, one senator was accused of pettifogging, which means dealing with such minute details that had no bearing on anything. He said, I don't think we need to worry about getting to that, but remember where you are. You are addressing the U.S. Senate. And to stand there and call them traitors and to chastise them? We're seeing some reaction on that already, but before I get to that, Senator Josh Hawley of Missouri, the junior senator, had clerked at one time for Judge Roberts when he was a judge, and he'd clerked for him, and he said, in looking at the history of what this judge has done and any remarks and so forth he's made versus what he said yesterday in that impeachment proceeding, well, here's what Senator Hawley said.
Well, it's really extraordinary. I could say somebody who's actually worked for John Roberts, I've never seen him do that before from any bench that I've ever seen him sit on. And it was really, I mean, it was very pointed. It followed immediately Mr. Nadler's comments to the Senate, in which he said, if senators didn't vote for his amendment, then we were committing treachery. That was his word, that we were voting against the United States. I mean, it's really extraordinary to basically accuse senators of treason. I mean, I'm not sure what the implication was supposed to be, except that we're being unpatriotic.
That's right. That's exactly what it was, Senator Hawley. And the Democrats, of course, know going into the Senate, they're outnumbered. There are more Republicans on the Senate than Democrats, and they have to have enough to go for the impeachment. They're not going to have that. And if they're trying to pick up some Republicans, they got to make sure they don't offend and upset those who might be considered on the line, such as Senator Murkowski. She is a key GOP senator. Alaska. She's considered a moderate member. She's gone against Trump on a few things, and that might be one they could think, well, maybe we can get her to vote with us. You know what she said after listening to Jerry Nadler's assertion that if you vote against allowing new testimony and evidence, if you vote against what the House managers are presenting, that you're engaged in a cover-up? Her response is, I took it as offensive. As anyone who's listening attentively and working hard to get a fair process, I was offended. Good. They're going to learn that that kind of talk will have backlash for them. Hawley had also said if their goal was to persuade with that statement, they took a huge step backward last night. Now, today, I assume they've toned the language down to some extent, but again, I've not had a chance to monitor it as we've been on the air. And, of course, the senators, again, having to just sit there. Just sit there. They can't really go anywhere while it's underway, and they can't have nothing but water or milk to drink. They cannot have their cell phones. And apparently when they do take a quick break, a lot of them are going to the cloakroom where there's some appetizers and cookies and things like that set out for them. Otherwise, they're sitting there. And to that extent, Senator Murkowski from Alaska said, I'm used to remaining stationary. I sit on an airplane 10 to 12 hours, usually twice a week. I'm used to kind of sitting in small, confined spaces. And our chairs on the Senate floor might look comfortable, but they're not. So she said, I'm throwing all my airplane yoga while sitting in my chair. You know, stretching her legs, moving her arms and legs around a little bit. Senator Hawley again, from Missouri, asked, what do you think the Democrats are really trying to accomplish? What is their real agenda? Here's his take.
I think that they already know how this is going to come out, and they're just messaging for it. I think that actually Nadler's comments last night, where he accused the Senate of participating in a cover-up. Tucker, that's what they're going to say. He just got there too soon. That's what they believe. That's how they're going to message it. They're not interested in trying their case. They're not even trying to put on evidence. They don't have any evidence. As has become clear today, this is all about spin. I thought that the thing that really, to me, emerged in today's arguments that's interesting is Schiff actually standing up and saying, you can't trust elections in the United States. He said, in 2016, the president cheated, not legitimate. He said the 2020 election may not be legitimate, may not be able to trust it, and therefore you have to protect democracy by overturning elections? I mean, that's their argument. It's no wonder that they don't want to actually have this trial.
Senator Josh Hawley of Missouri. And his point is clear. They're already saying, and as he said, the statement had gotten ahead of themselves when they stood up there and complained that the senators, they don't vote for the impeachment, that they're being traitors and going against the country's best wishes and needs. They've already exposed it. They walked in their kimono and they opened it up and we saw what they have. It's a little thing. It's a little thing, but they've exposed themselves and we know what they're doing. And then you've got Hollywood celebrities and they are just locked into this. I mean, we'll wait to hear what some of them have to say. Please stand by.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook. This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
So there's a survey out by the Associated Press asking, how likely is it that the Senate trial would change your mind about Donald Trump? How likely is it the Senate trial, not saying what the results would be, would change your mind about Trump? 7% said extremely, very likely, that it would change my mind. 18% said somewhat likely. 75% said not too much, not at all likely. The question again is not would you change your mind if Trump is found innocent or is found guilty, just how the Senate trial would change your mind about Trump. 75% not too much, not at all likely. But that question raised in Hollywood, all you'd get some positive responses that would say very likely, extremely likely, because, well, it wouldn't change their mind, come to think of it. I guess they would go along with that, too. They wouldn't change my mind. It'd just reinforce my mind, as small as it is. Let me give you some of these celebrities. I mean, these are always laughable. I enjoy laughing about them. I mean, they're just silly. They're great entertainers. Some of them, I give all the credit for being a great entertainer. Do your job and shut up. Well, they're an American citizen. They're entitled to have their say. I just wish they would follow up on some of the things they say, like when they said, if Trump's elected, I'm going to move out of the country or I'm going to move to Mars. I wish they'd show they're honest about it, but they're not. But they think by making that threat that you will come rushing in and say, oh, my God, we cannot have that actress move to Hollywood. Leave America. We need them here. Why, did they invite you to their house or something at some point? I doubt it. But Bette Midler, again, I'll give her credit on entertaining and so forth of her music. But Bette Midler saying, let's hear it for the United States Senate Republicans, or as I call them, the good old USSR. That's it. Michael Moore, filmmaker. Watching Trump's lawyer speaking in the Senate is simply stunning. I guess I shouldn't be shocked that they are as stupid and bombastic and disorganized as Giuliani and Trump. Trump is watching this, and he's got to be steaming because even he's not that dumb not to see how bad they are. The words of Michael Moore on his tweet machine. Barbara Streisand. Again, this is her music I like a lot. But that's where it ends for me. Trump's lawyers twisted the truth beyond recognition on the Senate floor. This is a disgrace for our Democratic Republic. And then you got Alyssa Milano talking about they're withholding 70 documents, blocking 12 witnesses from testifying, but they're not covering up anything. Nah. John Cusack, actor, say, pound this message, everyone. The Senate is covering up for Trump, so the Senate is on trial. Democracy hangs in the balance. Everything else is strictly bull-ass. Trial equals witness and evidence, period. No evidence, no witness, no trial. Senate covering up. Democracy, rule of law, dying. Rob Reiner, producer. Meathead. Republicans can't allow witnesses. Witnesses equal Trump is done. It's funny going through these. I mean, they go berserk. They get off in their little world, and they all sit around and exchange cocktails and say, well, let's try this one. What do you think about if I say this? And there's another one. Let me see. Oh, Alec Baldwin sent out a reference as to what to happen from here. He said, impeach Trump again. Well, they're already thinking about doing that, Alex. Will and Grace actress Deborah Messing. Guilty as charged. Oh, my God. I look at these things. I mean, it's just funny. And I would be able to accept it if they were truly not so hypocritical and if they would start looking at Joe Biden and Hunter Biden and all the rest of that. No, Larry, you can't do that. That's not what we're talking about. I know. And you don't want to talk about it, do you? Chelsea Handler. McConnell is only permitting senators to drink water and milk during the impeachment trial. I'd say he chose milk because he wanted to make white Russians. But there are enough of those in the room. Well, Senator Tom Cotton was ahead of her that because he mentioned earlier, said, I might, if I put a little vodka in my milk, then I've got a white Russian on the floor of the Senate, and I'd probably be charged of collusion. And so it goes. If you're listening to me, you're obviously not watching that. Maybe you'll catch part of it, and we'll deal with some of it again tomorrow. Tell you what I'm going to try to do. I decided right now I'm going to try to have, as a guest tomorrow, John Laboutière, former U.S. congressman, Republican, but he's a Reaganite Republican. He's not a Trump supporter. I'll get his take on what he sees going down. If I can get him booked tomorrow, I think you'll definitely want to hear what he has to say. John and I often do not see eye to eye, but I will say this about him. He's extremely candid. And as my daughter said in listening to one of our interviews, she said, that was embarrassingly entertaining. So maybe I'll set that up for you for tomorrow. Let your friends and neighbors know, please. We're on the air. Spread the word about the program and Larry Connors USA Facebook if you want to catch the podcast. Share those with your friends on Facebook so they can hear the program as well. As always, I appreciate you joining us, listening in. We'll be back tomorrow, same time, same place. Book it.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.